am here with 2025 influential mainframer Venkat, who is also a distinguished engineer and solution architect at Broadcom Software. Venkat leads the mainframe DevOps value stream, helping enterprises integrate cloud-native practices into Z environments without losing performance or resilience. A 2025 IBM champion, he's known for advancing AI integration, open source tooling, and modernization strategies worldwide. Welcome.
Thank you, Amanda.
So I'm glad you could join us today because we're talking about one of my favorite topics. And I want to know, first and foremost, tell me a little bit about Broadcom's Gen AI strategy and their approach.
It's not just your favorite topic, it's everybody's favorite topic.
It is,
right,
isn't
now. It
is.
It's everywhere. We have been on a journey trying to figure out what our strategy looks like. And that journey kind of matched the evolution of the technology itself. We started with the mindset of saying, we will integrate generative AI into our existing products and portfolio, and not just run after generative AI and create a solution just because it's the new hype. That's been our strategy from day one. Now, the technology that was available when we started did not enable us to do that effectively. But we are today at a point where we can leverage the modern standards and open standards that are there called Model Context Protocol, Retrieval Augmented Generation, to really achieve the integration of generative AI into our existing solutions with the focus on solving real world problems and delivering value to our customers. You just don't want to do something because, hey, AI is cool. No, we just want to solve the problems that customers are facing.
And so tell me a little bit about how you're applying AI and machine learning to mainframe operations and performance optimization.
That seems to be the natural intersection of AI and mainframe related aspects. I view it as a journey, right? We're not going to have an AI enabled solution across the board in any, whether it's operations, development, support, or anything like that. With Watchtower platform, we took a step in the direction of bringing in the AI and machine learning algorithms. Now, the unfortunate thing about generative AI and agentic AI is we are ignoring and forgetting the traditional AI approaches. The reality is, depending on the problem you're trying to solve and how you are going to approach it, the traditional AI ML algorithms still have a place and then will serve as the foundation block for the generative AI, agentic AI, and anything that's coming in the future. So what we did with Watchtower is to leverage the traditional data science machine learning algorithms to be able to do anomaly prediction. That's formed the basis for us, which now enables bringing in the different contextual data, analyzing them, predicting, and then with that as the basis, we can now have a chatbot using natural language processing, enabling users to interact with generative AI engines or have agents that can automate some of the tasks as part of that. So that's the journey that we are on. We took the step one, step two, step three are going to come and will keep up with the technology as it's evolving.
Do you have at this time any real world use cases where AI is delivering value for clients?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you hear the rage on about code assistance. Every single developer or non-developer would want to use a code assistant to write code. And we're seeing a lot of customers leveraging these code assistants to help their developers be more productive. Now, if you look at the distributed world, you know, Java, Python, Go, TypeScript for web development, client-based or mobile application development and things like that, code assistants are being used to write code, help with code. In the mainframe world, our customers are saying, our applications are complex. Our tribal knowledge is leaving the organization. New generation is coming to the platform. They have no clue about these applications. There is no accurate and up-to-date documentation about these applications. So we would want generative AI as a tool in conjunction with everything that they have to help understand these applications. Because for anybody to do anything with it, with an application, we need to know what is there. And that's exactly the problem that we are trying to solve. And that's exactly what customers are trying to do with Copilot, Cursor, Gemini, you know, the prominent code assistants that are out there in the market space.
I think one of the things that people struggle with AI on with a lot of different applications is making sure that your output is real. It's not just made up. So how are you making sure that AI outputs are accurate and explainable and trusted and verifiable?
So there are two angles to it. One is from a technology perspective. If you look at, again, the trajectory of how generative AI and related technologies evolved, we are at a point where there are standards that enable us to integrate the up-to-date information with any generative AI model. Because if you take a step back, the generative AI models have been trained on data that is available, which means it's always a point-in-time statement. In the enterprise world, in the real world, this data is evolving, changing on a day-to-day basis. And again, I just want to clarify, when we talk about data, people always think about the data that is sitting in databases like social security numbers, insurance policy numbers. No, it is about any and everything that an enterprise owns, their design documents, their policy document, their source code. All of that information is considered as data, and that's changing on a day-to-day basis. The RAG, or Retrieval Augmented Generation, and Model Context Protocol enable organizations to tap into that data in a real-time way. As a result of that, what we are enabling is the context or data that is available to the LLM is always current and is always bounded and managed, which means you as an organization are providing that data source. You're exposing it, or a vendor is exposing it. So that's where the context is bounded, which enables the LLM to work within that bounded context and not just spit out answers that are not accurate. So that is one of the things that, you know, from a technology perspective, that is available and that we are going to take advantage of. And these protocols and standards will evolve. The other part of it is, from an organization's perspective, as you are standardizing and formalizing your GenAI strategy, understanding the use cases and figuring out which model you're going to select, whether is it cloud, hosted, on-prem, hybrid cloud, what kind of data is being exposed to it, understanding the transportation layer, the security associated with it. Who owns the data? How is the data being stored? All of that information is really critical. And having that understanding as part of that adoption process and onboarding process will help organizations get clarity on what are the guardrails around it. What is missing? What can be added?
I wanted to ask you about that, because data privacy and security is a big question when it comes to these, because you're putting your data in a system. And how is it accessed, and who's doing it? So tell me a little bit more about the guardrails and how you are addressing the concerns.
So the guardrails, again, the standards like MCP enable you to expose a certain set of what they're known as tools, which can be a set of APIs. As an organization or as a vendor, you can control what those APIs are, what the input and the output that is coming out of those APIs is. And you can also set a security context around that particular API call to say it is executing under the authority of the user credentials and whatever access they have today, right? The other part is, as we evolve and go from API calls to giving the agents the autonomy to go do something on the mainframe, anything and everything that we do from a security perspective, the basic standard best practices of onboarding a human being should be applied for any agent as well. It's more of the hygiene of the system and what you do from a security perspective that has to be in place before you start talking about the additional guardrails for AI adoption at scale in an organization?
So I think that the AI conversation has been around for a long time, but in the past couple of years, it's really started to pick up speed. Where do you think it's going to take us in the next 3 to 5 years?
AI is being called as the disruption of the 21st century, and it is going to be a foundational technology that is going to change the way we do things, right? Right from taking meeting notes to writing presentations, writing code, to doing, you know, problem analysis. The key here again is to be grounded and focusing on the business problems and the business use cases, and not just doing AI for the sake of AI. And that not falling into the trap is key. And we will get to a point where there are some of the routine automation tasks. I mean, if you take a step back, right, we have always been telling, as part of the DevOps best practices, is automate anything that is repetitive, eliminate the waste. This is just the next layer of automation, right? Instead of a human doing it, or somebody, some script doing it, you're having an agent do that for you. So that is the next level of automation, and that is where we are going to get to, and it's going to impact every aspect of our life, personal or professional, from a technology perspective.
And last question, if you had 20 seconds to pitch AI on the mainframe to a skeptical CIO, what would you say?
Don't be skeptical, be conservative, be practical. Right? Because this technology, as we just said, is going to be foundational. It is going to impact and change the way we do things. So from a business perspective, thinking ahead as to how or what problems do we want to solve and can AI help should be the thought process. Starting there is key. And then figuring out what are the guardrails, what are the different considerations for your organization, knowing the industry that you're in, knowing your competitors, what is the risk level that you want to take, what are the guardrails you want to put in, should be the thought process. That's why I want to say be conservative, be practical about how you want to approach it. But this is not something that you would want to sit on the sidelines and watch.
Great. Well, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.